dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host, special guest this week, Dr. Joshua Neubauer. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Neubauer. That's good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I put people together, man. I got the all right guy saying I got, man, problems with my shoulder. I go, guess what we're talking about today? So hopefully you can come over to your office and talk to you about that. Let's talk a little bit about your background, Dr. Neubauer. Where you grew up and where you went to school?
So I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and then I ended up going to medical. I bounced around a little bit, spent most of my adult life in the South, ended up at the University of Louisville for medical school, then came to the Medical College of Wisconsin for further training and fellowship.
How did you like the Milwaukee weather after being in Louisville for a while? Not bad, right?
Summer's great.
Spring and fall's not bad. This winter's been easy. It's a piece of cake.
It's been good. I'm programmed to feel like springtime's coming when the calendar hits March, but that doesn't really happen.
Mid-May. Figure you can put that snowblower away mid-May or so. You can run the gas out, but don't do it before that. Right. You never know around here. Did you go to high school and everything in Kansas City?
I did. Well, I started high school there and then finished in Louisville.
Okay.
And then went to North Carolina for college and then went back to Louisville for medical school.
So you're a Tar Heel at
I'm
heart?
Not. No.
No.
Very small college outside of Charlotte, Davidson College.
Oh yeah.
Those are my folks.
That's awesome. When did you know growing up that maybe becoming a doctor was for you?
I thought about a lot of different things, and then it was in high school when one of my teammates got hurt playing football, actually, that I had a lot of interest, and the coaches were wondering why I was back at the trainer's table paying more attention to him than the game. And that was kind of the first spark for me, and that developed over the next several years through college.
Boy, that's awesome. The amount of effort that it takes to do what you've done, obviously, and go through the kind of schooling that you've done. School always been something that you've been really good at?
I suppose I worked hard at it.
Yeah.
It didn't come super easily to me. Some people don't have to work real hard. They're just incredibly gifted and smart and just comes to them naturally.
None of the McGivern boys, by the way. None of the McGivern. I'm just kidding. They listen sometimes. Maybe a couple of those McGivern boys, but that did not come my way. Thank goodness I know how to talk because that's about it.
Everybody has their gifts. They really do.
I keep looking for mine, Dr. Neubauer. If you see any, you let me know. When I Google you and when we talked and we emailed back and forth, are you considered an expert when it comes to shoulders?
Yes.
You're a sports. You'll talk to patients about other, but shoulders is your expertise.
That's right. So all of us do a little bit of everything. All orthopedic surgeons are very generally trained, and then that train gets focused and honed down more and more to one specific area of interest. And on a larger scale, it's sports medicine for me, and that focuses down even further to the shoulder.
If you get a chance, go to mymosh.com. And do what I did this morning. Watch, there's a video to learn more about Dr. Neubauer. It's a really good video, and you'll get a feeling for what this man is and what his beliefs are as far as how he can help you, you know, if you're an athlete, to get back on the court, back on the field, to figure that out. If you're a weekend warrior having shoulder problems, or you're like Randy Miller from All Right Home Remodeling saying, hey, look, he curls and he has fun doing that, but there's an issue with his shoulder with that.
There is, yeah. So, first of all, when he said curling, I thought he meant biceps curls
yes.
in the gym, which is what the only kind of curling we really talked about years ago. And that curling is a really cool sport.
Yeah, it is. He has a great time doing it, too. And he said, look, it's like the old, he told me one time, you remember you were in a bowling league or something? I go, yeah. He goes, you know how fun, it was fun. And I go, yeah. He goes, that's kind of, it gives us a chance to get together, we're doing something that not a lot of people do, and it's fun to do. He also said when somebody comes out and tries it for the first time, we got them because they really enjoy it and they keep coming back. But there's some stress on the shoulder when you do that kind of stuff.
There is. He was talking about when he's doing the sweeping, which is a pretty vigorous motion with the arm, and that affects the shoulder too, and he's having a little trouble with that now. So hopefully we can get him back on it.
He's not listening. I think it's more an age thing with him. I'm just kidding. He's listening right now going, you know, McGivern, why do you say stupid stuff like that? Hey, when somebody calls, and I know you probably don't know this, but my wife had knee surgery through Dr. Brian McCarty, went through Mosh. And I've been doing this show for a couple of years, and I've told people the difference because other people have told me what the difference is when you go to Mosh. But then my wife and I went through it. And the care that was given to her, and the people other than Dr. Brian didn't know that I'm on the radio talking about it every week. So we were just another patient to them, my wife was, and I was just hanging out with her. But I have to tell you, Dr. Numbar, you live in that bubble. It's an incredible difference when you go to Mosh to get stuff done. Like my wife had meniscus surgery, which is, in your world, in Dr. Brian's world, that's kind of not a big deal. It was a big deal for us. First time she's ever had surgery. First time she's ever been under. What a great experience it was.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. When a patient comes in and tells me thank you, or hey, I'm able to get back to doing X, Y, or Z activity, sports, whatever, that truly does make my day when I hear that from a patient. And you telling me that today is more of a collective experience that, or a collective compliment, if you will, to the staff at the hospital and the folks who really make that engine run every day. To hear that means we're doing something right. And if you have experienced that, I appreciate you talking about it on the radio, but the reality is the experience you had was a pleasant experience in your life. And you're right, we do that every day. Quite honestly, as a patient, the ideal scenario for you would be for my job to be mundane, which means you have a fairly routine issue for me. But I understand that that's not routine for you.
Right.
It's the biggest experience that you've gone through in a long, long time with your wife and your knee and your family. And it affects every part of your day and your life. And for us to hear that was more pleasant for you, we appreciate that. The difference is the people we have at the hospital.
I
think
agree.
We have good docs, but we also have a process set up that makes the experience really, really pleasant and smooth for you.
You know, I'm a basketball coach, so I understand the importance of team. The definition of a team is two or more horses pulling in a similar direction for a common goal. That's what the word team is. We went into Mosh, and now I looked at it differently, Dr. Numbar. When we walked up to the first people that greeted us, and then I would sit and listen and watch, and we were in the waiting room, but I would watch as other people would come up and ask questions, because now I wanted to know for myself, because of talking about it on the radio, I wanted to experience that whole experience with her, other than being put under and having the knee surgery. But I wanted to experience all of that because I wanted to be able to come on the show and say, let me tell you what just happened. So I sat back and watched and listened and took a couple of little notes down about people's names and stuff so I could come on the air and say, let me tell you about her and what she did for us. And it just was. So I think it's important when I have a doctor on that I haven't had on for a while, Dr. Neubauer, I want you to know that what you're doing and what your team is doing is top-notch.
We really appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
You bet. For more information on Dr. Joshua Neubauer, mymosh.com, and you can get all the information that you need on him. Hey, before we get to a break, I did some research today, and I came across a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. And the first is frequently asked questions about the shoulder. And I read this and I thought, man, this is true. This is stuff that I would ask her as a coach or as a parent or as a patient would ask. And here's just a couple of them. What are exercises that somebody can use for a shoulder injury? So I guess it depends on the type of injury, and that's more of a it's a really wide open question for you. But are there certain exercises that maybe to prevent certain shoulder injuries that you would tell people to do?
Absolutely. There are the basic things that apply to any sport or any activity when you're having some discomfort. And that is be prepared. And the preparation starts with making sure you're well-trained, make sure your body is conditioned for doing things, and that goes much further back before your activity. But then immediately before the activity, let's say, for example, curling, you just need to be warmed up. You need to have your body ready to go for that activity. That's the first thing you can do. It starts with the preparation. If we're talking about once you're injured, it really does depend on the specific injury, because there are certain things that apply to, say, a biceps tendon injury versus a separated shoulder, a labral tear, or a rotator cuff tear. Fortunately, the biggest thing people run into is sprains and strains, and we can handle that pretty easily with ice after an activity, warming up well before, maybe some heat before activity.
You know what's interesting is people take shoulders for granted. You know that, right? You just take them for granted until they're hurt or they're sore. It's not like, you know, everybody's knees kind of hurt sometimes or you twist an ankle. Shoulders, you kind of take it for granted until you don't have it anymore.
I think you're right. And I think that applies to any kind of injury. You really don't realize how much you use even a small muscle until you're hurt. And then it affects everything.
Hey, a couple other questions and we'll get to a break. Can sleep cause shoulder pain?
People often wake up and say they have shoulder pain. Every week I have at least one patient who tells me, hey, I just woke up with shoulder pain. So in and of itself, does sleep cause the injury? Not likely. But if there's an underlying condition, how you sleep on it can certainly affect things.
How about stress? Can stress cause shoulder pain?
It can certainly cause pain.
Yeah.
It's not likely to cause an injury, but absolutely it causes pain.
I had a player, this was a couple of years ago, that thought he had a dislocated shoulder, but he could move it. If you have a dislocated shoulder, could you still move it?
Very limited. So what can often happen in that situation is the shoulder can be loose and the shoulder can be sliding in and out of place. You think of the shoulder is a ball and socket joint, and you think of that being very highly constrained, but the shoulder is a really unique, it's a uniquely designed joint, which is a very shallow socket. So the ball can slide around in the socket, and that's called subluxation. So the shoulder can slide around quite easily, even though it doesn't come all the way out of place. In that situation, somebody would be able to move their arm, but it would cause them a fair amount of pain.
He is Dr. Joshua Neubauer. We'll continue. And when we get on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask you why shoulders for you.
You got it. Where
that came from. Again, Dr. Joshua Neubauer. Go to mymosh.com for more information on him. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Foo Fighters, brought to you by Dr. Joshua Neubauer. From mymosh.com for more information. You're a Foo Fighters fan?
I am.
Do you listen to Foo Fighters during surgery?
Occasionally.
Do you? Do you pick the music?
Well, it's a collective effort, but I do get veto power.
Yes, you do. I bet you do. Here, if you just, on the side of the, yeah, you can tighten that up. There you go. I know this radio, nobody sees what we're doing. I asked you, why shoulders for you? Was that something that you were interested in early on? Or was it something that you kind of fell into?
It wasn't something I was targeting and going into from a long time back. It's just something that was really, really interesting to me. I did play sports, played football and baseball growing up, and now I still play semi-competitive racquetball. So the shoulder is just a really cool, complex joint that, course, everybody needs, and it's something I'm passionate about. I love taking care of the shoulder.
Is there a common patient for you, or do you have it? Is it from young athletes to guys my age and even older, and everything in between?
It really is all across the board. I'll tell you that just yesterday in the office, I had a 13-year-old patient with an ACL tear. And I had a 94-year-old patient with a broken humerus, a broken arm.
Wow.
So it really does run the gamut for me. I take care of a little bit of everything.
Never boring.
No, it's pretty fun.
I bet. And you've got two kids?
I do. I have two boys, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
What are their names?
Hayes is the younger one, and Tucker is the four-year-old, the older one.
You know, we were talking during the break. I have three grandsons, and the youngest one is, he's a beast, man. He's a great kid, but he's, you know what? He is stubborn, and he's going to get his way. And you said, you know, Hayes is the younger one, is different than the older one. And it's funny because these three boys, it's Everybody Loves Raymond by our house. You know, I'm the old guy that's watching sports all the time, but these are really different kids.
Well, Mom will say that if we'd have had the second child first, we would only have one.
That's what Jody
says. That's
his story. That's awesome. Hey, let's get back to shoulders, and I've got a few more questions, and then I want to kind of dig deep into a couple of different areas. I want to talk, after I ask these questions, talk about tips to return to sports after a shoulder injury, and I want to talk about rotator cuff, and we'll do that throughout the show. Again, with Dr. Joshua Neubauer, go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Neubauer. Can you sprain your shoulder?
You can. You can. It's basically pulling the muscle. So it's an injury to the muscle that's not a complete tear. It's not a dislocation. It's just an injury to the muscle itself.
Is that pretty common?
Very common.
It is.
For all parts of the body, and certainly the shoulder.
This time of year with basketball and wrestling, do you see different injuries this time of year than you would during football season?
They're somewhat different. All those sports are certainly contact sports, whereas football takes it another step further into a collision sport. So there are certainly are different degrees of energy that are into these injuries. Whereas basketball, for example, the high school patient yesterday has an ACL tear. Wrestling, we see other soft tissue injuries, ligament strains, things like that usually. Whereas in football, we'll see a shoulder separation, broken arm, ACL, is a little bit of everything. It's a little bit more traumatic with football.
Could you explain, and I've been asked this a number of times, and I try to explain it, but I can't do it the way you guys do. When they talk on TV, oh, he's got a stinger. You know, so, and it looks like his arm just goes dead. And then he's back in, you know, 5 minutes later, there's a player coming back in. So if they get hit on the shoulder or the arm, can you explain what that, a stinger?
Sure. Yeah, you said it really well. You described it perfectly. What that is, it's an injury to the nerve. There's a complex of nerves that come out of your neck and then go down your arm. And there's something called the brachial plexus, which is a fancy term for the collection of nerves pretty close to your collarbone between your neck and your shoulder. And that's usually a traction injury, meaning the nerve gets stretched and it gets angry with that injury. Other times it's a direct blow, like a helmet hitting you right on your shoulder. So that's exactly what it is. It's a transient or a short-term injury to the nerves that cause the whole arm to go dead.
And certainly scary. If a player hasn't had that before, you can see the fear in their eyes. And for the players that have had it before, it's, you know, they raise their hand, they kind of run off, like trying to move their arm. They go and they go right to the trainer and they know what's going on. But for the guy that has it done the first time, it's a really painful couple of minutes.
It's painful, but it's more disconcerting. It really scares you when you can't feel your arm. And certainly something that happens so quickly is really scary and disconcerting to the athlete or the patient. And it's common enough, particularly in a sport like football, that when you do have it for the first time, it makes sense to you because you've seen your teammates who have had it or you've heard about it. So you kind of know what it is, but it still is quite scary when you have difficulty moving your arm. Fortunately, it's something that's usually short-lived and patients are back playing after a few minutes. If it's a long-term numbness or if it's something that is recurrent, then that player needs to be checked out further and pulled out of the game.
Is there a typical, I guess, or a more common shoulder surgery that you do? Rotator cuff, is that the most common? What would be the most common for you?
The rotator cuff repair would be the most common. That seems to be the most common shoulder surgery that we do. There are other things like the labrum, where we have a labrum tear. That's often in younger athletes. And then as patients are older, it's often shoulder replacements. So it runs that whole gamut. But I would say that the most common is the shoulder. For the shoulder is the rotator cuff repair.
And, you know, we hear that term a lot, rotator cuff. And especially with baseball, I think it seems like, at least on the shows that I do. But I don't know if I've ever asked somebody, a specialist, a shoulder specialist, to explain what the rotator cuff is and what it does for the shoulder. So can I ask you that?
Absolutely. So by definition, the rotator cuff is a collection of four muscles that envelop the humerus. So the top of the humerus is called the humeral head. It makes up the ball part of the ball and socket joint in your shoulder. And the rotator cuff envelops the top of it, as well as to some extent the front and the back. And that helps keep the ball in the socket, and it helps you elevate your arm. So if you have a torn rotator cuff, the ball won't stay in the socket quite as well, and you'll have difficulty moving your arm, usually with raising it up over your head.
And for guys that pitch a lot, what's interesting to me, Dr. Neubauer, is that it seems like recently we've done really I think people in baseball have done a good job, especially in the high school and the travel, to making sure and younger that the kids stay in a pitch count. And there are coaches that come on some of my coaches' show and say, hey, look, they don't need – we should be able to make that decision as coaches. I think they're short-sighted is I don't think the governing body is looking at these kids as little league players. They're trying to make sure that they stay healthy to move on to play middle school and high school and college. And so they're worried about overuse of the arm. You, as a shoulder expert, where do you come down on things like pitch counts for young kids?
So I can look at that from a lot of different perspectives. The first is I'm an orthopedic surgeon and I take care of the shoulder. But the other parts that will influence my answer to that question is the fact that I have two boys, 2 and 4. I'm hopeful that they'll be athletes at one point if that's something they choose to do. But I was also an athlete growing up. So at that time, I wanted nothing more than to play all the time. And
right.
I didn't want to be out of any games. And that's what I see in the young athletes now. Having the perspective of being older and essentially a former athlete, but also a surgeon now, I can tell you that there's a significant importance to the development of that young athlete and that shoulder and that patient overall that really needs to be tempered. So I am a fan of pitch counts. I am a fan of cross training. I'm a fan of athletes playing a lot of different sports.
Love that.
When I was playing sports, you played four different sports throughout the year, at least three different sports. And nowadays, many players are just playing one sport all year long. They're kind of compelled to do that to maintain good stead with their coaches, or also to be competitive in those sports. And it's a tough proposition now, because if you're not playing volleyball all year long at 15 years old, you're going to have a hard time making those teams. But at the same time, in my opinion, that doesn't make you the best well-rounded athlete, or quite honestly, the healthiest athlete for the rest of your life.
I, as a basketball coach, I can tell you this. If I have a kid who played quarterback on the football team and it's 4th and 1 with 4 seconds to go and they're going to call a quarterback sneak, and that kid has the courage and the guts and the toughness to get the ball in the end zone, he's going to hit a free throw for me down the stretch, because he's got that moxie inside of him. And I love kids that play multiple sports. I love soccer players that play basketball. Most of them can't shoot a lick, but boy, can they defend. And so the more I do this show, the more I find out that the cross training is what keeps you out of seeing guys like you.
I agree with you. It's important from that mental aspect, but I think it's also important from the physical aspect. I think a player is going to be a better basketball player if they also play football or run track or play soccer. A lot of different sports can be very complementary to the body's development. And that's what's really important to me, is how well is that athlete developing, absolutely psychologically, mentally, but also, most importantly, physically.
Do you see more swimmers than anything else with shoulder problems?
No, it runs a gamut. The swimmer has just a different type of injury. You're usually not going to see a bad traumatic injury to a swimmer. You might see something where the muscles are a little bit loose, or and there's a little bit more instability in the shoulder. That's a common injury to the shoulder in swimmers. So I wouldn't say swimmers are more commonly injured in the shoulder, but they just have a different injury than, for example, a baseball player.
Yeah, volleyball different as well?
Yes, volleyball is an overhead sport, so that's going to be something similar to pitchers.
Last question, we'll get to a break. Girls to boys to girls, as far as athletes, look, I didn't realize that girls you know, are more likely to get certain injuries than guys are when it comes to different ACLs and knees and stuff like that. What about shoulders?
We don't. There's not something as clear in the shoulder for gender specific injuries so much as there is in the knee. Just how the body develops and how young female bodies develop differently from young male bodies.
Right. Interesting. He is Dr. Joshua Neubauer. I love having you. Yeah, and you need to come back. You know, we got two more segments, but you see in front of you, I've got about 9 segments worth of questions for you. Dr. Joshua Neubauer, and you can go to mymosh.com. He is a shoulder expert, but he does a little bit of everything. But we're talking mostly shoulders today, again, with Dr. Neubauer. Mymosh.com for more information on him. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
House is all complete. You can walk the privies in the rain and never wet your feet. They've gone about as far as they can go.
Yes, sir. They've gone about as far as they can go.
Everything's up to date in Kansas City.
Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show, and let's hope Dr. Brian McCarty is not listening. My special guest, Dr. Joshua Neubauer, is from Kansas City. Music is from the Broadway show, Oklahoma. My brother John would be so proud of me right now, picking a Broadway show. Dr. Joshua Neubauer, thank you so much for coming in, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
You bet. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Kansas City-born Dr. Joshua Neubauer. Hey, let's talk about tips to return to sport after suffering a shoulder injury. We're going to talk and it'll be more general when we talk about this, because we won't talk about specific injuries at this point. It's going to be different for depending on what the injury is. But generally, are there some tips that you can give to people that have to get their shoulder healthy, to stay healthy and return safely to sport?
Absolutely. It really does come down to the injury itself, about how much leeway you have with your activity level, how far you can push it. But again, the basic stuff we come up with that is true for any type of injury is making sure your body's well conditioned, making sure your condition in general, and not just focusing on the shoulder. And specific to that, while you're out of commission, from the standpoint of your shoulder, you can really keep the rest of your body healthy. You can keep your other arm healthy. You can keep your legs healthy. You can keep your endurance, to some extent, your agility. And that way, when you get back to when you're ready to rehab specifically the shoulder, then you've got everything else ready and you can focus on that specific injury.
Coaching basketball at Martin Luther, Dr. Neubauer, we have Ashley Groh, who is our trainer, and she's phenomenal at getting our kids. We've had some ankle injuries, and she's been phenomenal at getting our kids ready to play, and doesn't really give us the okay until she feels really comfortable these kids are 100% healthy, or at least close, and not worried about, you know, the kind of cuts that you make on a basketball floor. So when we talk about trying to return to the court healthy with an injury, and you talk about the shoulder injury, she talks a lot about making sure you warm up well and the range of motion with the exercises. And with shoulders, when I did some research, they talk a lot about trying to avoid overhead throwing movements until you're ready to go.
So one of the really important things there is you need to have, let's take a pitcher for example, you need to have the range of motion ready for your arm, for your arm slot, for your for how far you come overhead. If you're way overhead as a pitcher, it's one thing. If you're a three-quarter pitcher, it's another thing. So you just really need to be ready for your own mechanics. When you're injured, when you're coming back and you're not quite 100%, you get your arm slot in a different position, and that really throws off the mechanics. Then you get to back pain, hip pain. It really throws off everything, and that really puts the athlete at a disadvantage and at high risk for re-injury. So the basic things we need to have before somebody's ready to come back, whether it's just a sprain or a strain, or if it's after a surgical repair, is first the range of motion. And these are separate phases, but there is a little bit of overlap. You get the range of motion back, then you work on getting the strength back, then you get some functional training, for example, throwing or a simulated game, and then you get back up to full speed and competition. you take Middleton, for example, who's the Bucks player who's just coming back. He feels like he's 100%, but they haven't been quite ready. It's probably the smart thing. You really need to have somebody absolutely 100% unequivocally before they can get back to that level of competition safely.
You know, two questions, follow-up questions with that. At the high school level, the kids seem to either tell you they're 100% or they truly are feeling like, man, I think I'm ready to go. What they don't understand, and some of his coaches don't understand, if the kid feels like he's ready to go, at times he's not ready to go, and we have to pull him back to say, don't do that. That's the first question. Question number two is the psychological part of this. Do you have to walk your kids through when you see that they should be ready to go and they're still afraid to get out there and play? How do you deal with that as well?
That's a great question. I'll answer the first one first, and that is that when the athlete feels like they're ready to go, they may really not be there. And that's why we need the objective findings for it. That's where the trainers come in to make sure that the athlete is safe to return. That's also where good coaching comes in. And coaches, as you know, have a really, really important job. It's one, teaching the game itself. It's honing the skills. It's talking about the strategy. But in your situation, it's also making sure you're developing good adults, good human beings. It's a really, really important part of a mentorship for a young person. You're touching them as an athlete, but you're teaching them how to be responsible, good young men and women. So it is important to lead them safely and appropriately. And there's been some research that said when somebody feels ready, when they're not limping anymore, not having any pain anymore, they really may be at about 75%.
Okay.
And you really need to be back to 100% before you're ready to return. Now, on the other side, the psychological side of it, oftentimes we're trying to pull people back rather than push them along to help them be more safe. Psychologically, when they're overzealous and not quite ready, that's what we run into more routinely. When they're more hesitant and not quite ready to go back, and you feel like you want to help them help advance them psychologically, I think that's a little bit more tricky, because when a patient is hesitant, then they're going to be at risk for injury. And that gives me more concern. So they need to feel ready. Psychologically, they need to feel ready before they can go back.
We had a young man where I coach who had meniscus surgery during football season. And Ashley thought, you know what, he should be ready to go. And there were moments where it was like, boy, but then he would shut it down. And what I found out was in his background, in his family history, he had a couple of uncles that had some major knee problems. He had another uncle that had a minor knee. So he had some family members saying, hey, look, you have to be really careful with this. You're only a junior in high school. You've already had one knee surgery. And I think a lot of that was in his head, to the point that we did a kind of a good cop, bad cop on him and said, look, you got to let it loose one time. Let it loose for a practice. And if there's an issue, then we'll fix the issue. But where it looks like you should be, we need to get to that. And it worked. The kid is playing phenomenal right now, and he's running up and down, and there's no issues. But once we found out where a lot of that hesitation was coming from, and it was coming from when he would go home, and he knew that the two of his uncles were good athletes and had some major knee problems.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It brings into the fray the psychology of sports. And we always think about the physical side of things, but the reality is there's so much more to it with the mental preparation and psychologically being ready. And in his situation, I'm glad he wasn't pushing too much, because, again, you're at risk for injury if you're not feeling like you're ready to go.
Right. Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, can we talk about ways to prevent shoulder pain?
Absolutely.
That's excellent. He's Dr. Joshua Neubauer. Again, mymosh.com for more information on him. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Jumped on my rag and shoved off chasing my dreams. Breathing in big fishes, I had some hits and a few big misses. I gave them hell and got a few stitches. And these days,
it's Eric Church, Holding My Own, brought to you by my special guest, Dr. Joshua Neubauer. got a wide variety of music likes, man. That's awesome.
I'm a big fan of different music. Yeah,
yeah, it's good. This is a good one, huh?
It is. It's good. Check it out.
I will. Holding my own, Eric Church. Again, he is Dr. Joshua Neubauer, mymosh.com. Let's talk a little bit. We've been talking about shoulder injuries and shoulder pain, and I want to talk about ways to prevent shoulder pain. And I don't know, Dr. Neubauer, if you're somebody who's never really had shoulder pain, you don't really think about trying to prevent it. But once you have it and now you get healthy again, you do whatever you can to prevent that kind of pain.
Absolutely. The example that comes to mind with what you're just talking about there is back pain. You hear a lot of people who have back pain, and you don't really get it till you have it yourself. I've personally had it, and it gives you a lot of empathy for the other patients you take care of. From the standpoint of the shoulder, it's debilitating when you can't raise your arm, when you can't reach into the refrigerator, when you can't reach to shake somebody's hand, or much less play your sport. Again, I play racquetball a lot, and if you can't raise your arm, you have difficulty playing. So to your point about how do we prevent injury, it really comes back to the basic things about being prepared. It's about making sure your body is well conditioned in general. And that's where we go back to being involved in multiple sports, basically cross training your body so you're really healthy. And then specifically, you want to make sure you've got full range of motion. You want to make sure that you've conditioned your shoulder and your arms, and make sure your shoulders and your back and your chest are all equally developed and well balanced. And that just provides the foundation for your shoulder to work properly.
You know, and there's on the research that I did, they talk a lot. And in fact, they give you a whole list, and one of them is perform what's called a sleeper stretch daily to increase your flexibility. And they talk about limiting overhead activities. And again, if you're not somebody who's ever experienced this, you kind of just read through it and roll your eyes and go. But if you have, and I know a couple of buddies of mine that have had, like Randy Miller, the guy that you met prior, that this is really an issue to be able to continue doing what they want to do. And once they get that shoulder healthy again, they're going to be looking for ways to prevent that from injury again.
Absolutely. It really does change the way you look at things. And sometimes people stop doing their activities because they're starting to feel better and they start to have a little bit of pain again. And then that really gets them back on track with their activities. You talk about Randy. You can't see it on the radio, but he's a fit guy. He's a pretty active guy. He's playing sports at his age and curling, and he also has a quite active vocation where he's working hard with his body. So he needs to be healthy and fit and strong, and it can be kind of debilitating. He's talking about his curling, so obviously, you know, his heart lies with that, and he's enjoying it a lot, and he wants to get back to playing that. And that's an example for – he's one example – for pretty much everybody listening where you have a little injury.
And I've played softball with him, and he's really competitive, and he plays short. And with a team with a bunch of young guys, and he can still pick it and throw it really well, and I'm sure that this concerns him for that as well.
Probably does. He wants to throw everybody out, and those bases in softball are kind of short. You got to get rid of it quickly.
Yeah, they're not that short for some of us, but for some other guys, they are. Hey, I get asked this question a lot, and to be honest with you, it seems to be all over the board. When you have shoulder pain or knee pain, people say, "Oh, you need to ice it," and other people say you need to put heat on it. And I never know as a coach if I've got a young man that twists his ankle at practice, I just send him to Ashlyn. She tells him. But if it's, should I be telling somebody to use ice and heat, to use just heat when you have shoulder problems?
The first few days after an injury, icing is the most important. Think of it as an acute injury, which is what it is. When you twist an ankle or when you hurt the shoulder, there's an inflammatory process and that swelling. And what we want to do is slow that down or keep that to a minimum. And the best way to do that is icing immediately. One of the best things you can do, the advantage that professional athletes have is that they have the top quality medical care immediately available to them. When you're given the example of your player, you've got Ashley right there who is giving that professional medical support right away. So the immediate thing to do for the ankle is to get it elevated, ice it for the first several days, not more than 20 minutes at a time with ice directly on the skin. Otherwise, you can get a burn from the cold that can damage the nerves. So you really want to have it 20 minutes at a time and then have it off for about 20 minutes. But to answer your question, icing is the most important thing for the first few days after an acute injury. It applies also for the shoulder.
Hey, what is your feeling on braces? You know, we used to always, you know, wear ankle braces for kids. I know there are such thing as shoulder braces as well. And now we're being told if they've never injured the ankle, don't brace it. I wonder what you're feeling on shoulder braces.
So it's different for all the different injuries. My personal opinion on braces is to minimize it as much as you can. The brace is very important if that joint needs some extra stability. For the shoulder, if a patient wants to, say a high school football player wants to keep playing and they have instability, they're going to need a brace to keep them safe.
You see all this paperwork. We didn't get through half of it.
Let's do it again, please.
I'd love for you to come back. You're a great guest when you come in, and you allow me to play. Everything's up to date in Kansas City, so you know, for that reason alone, Dr. Neubauer, you're more than welcome anytime.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. He's Dr. Joshua Neubauer. Go to mymosh.com for more information. Again, Dr. Joshua Neubauer. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.